Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Angshuman, Text Number 7. Darayishati te vegam Rudrastatma sharirinam Yasmin nanto notam idam proktam Vishvam Shativa Tantushu. Darishati
will sustain
Te your Vegam force of the waves Rudra Lord Shiva to indeed Atma, the super soul, Sharirinam, of all embodied beings, souls, Yasmin, in whom Otam is situated in its longitude, Idam, this whole universe, Proktam, latitude, Vishvam, the whole universe. Shati, a cloth. Eva, as. Tantushu, in threads. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Like a cloth woven of threads, extending for its length and breadth, this entire universe, in all its latitude and longitude, is situated under the different potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of the Lord, and thus he represents the super soul and the embodied soul. He can sustain your forceful waves on his head. Verbal. The water of the Ganges is supposed to rest on the head of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is an incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who sustains the entire universe by different potencies. Lord Shiva is described in the Brahma Samhita, Shiram yatad dadi vikara vishesha yoga sanjayate nahita takprita astiheto Yaksambhutama vitata samupaiti chakaryad govindamadi purushang tamahang vajami. Milk changes into yogurt when mixed with a yogurt culture, but actually yogurt is constitutionally nothing but milk. Similarly, Govinda, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, assumes the form of Lord Shiva for the special purpose of material transactions. I offer my respectful obeisances at Lord Govinda's lotus feet. Lord Shiva is the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the same sense that yogurt is also milk, although at the same time it is not milk. For the maintenance of the material world, there are three incarnations, Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva, or Maheshwara. Lord Shiva is Vishnu in an incarnation for the mode of ignorance. The material world exists predominantly in the mode of ignorance. Therefore, Lord Shiva is compared here to the longitude and latitude of the entire universe, resembles a cloth woven of threads extending both its length and breadth. So the text again. Like a cloth woven of threads extending for its length and breadth, this entire universe in all its latitude and longitude is situated under different potencies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Shiva is the incarnation of the Lord, thus he represents the super soul and the embodied soul. He can sustain your forceful waves on his head. The Bhagavatam is about principally the incarnations of Krishna, the Das Avatars, as well as the Mahajans, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlado, Janakao, Bhishmo, Vahira, Vyasa, Kira, Vayam. And of those Mahajans, the nine Mahajans, or 12 Mahajans, actually, there are 12 Mahajans. Three times four is 12. Then one of them is Swayambhu, who's Lord Shiva. Now the Bhagavatam is considered to be a desire tree. Nigama kalpatara galitam balam sukamukha dravya sambhutam privata bhagavatam aliyam mahur maho bhuva bhuvikaha. That the Srimad Bhagavatam is considered a desire tree. Nigama kalpatara galitam balam. And Shukadeva Goswami is reciting it, and he's compared to a parrot, that when the parrot with its beak touches a fruit, it becomes more tasteful. And although the Bhagavatam was ready, semi-soft and swallowable, easily swallowable, still, by the touch of Shukadeva Goswami, it's become even more relishable. So one of the topics is continuously about Lord Shiva, and in the Bhagavatam we find Lord Shiva depicted seemingly in different ways. For instance, we find sometimes Shiva in the 10th canto fighting against Krishna on behalf of Banasura. Then we find him running away from Vrikasura, also in the 10th canto. Vrikasura got a benediction from Lord Shiva that whosoever head he could would touch would crack into pieces, and therefore Vrikasura wanted to experiment on Lord Shiva's head and try to touch his head, and Lord Vishnu had to save him. Then we have Bhriga Muni, also in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, trying to find out who actually is God by going around and testing the Brahma, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu to see who is the most tolerant. And we find Lord Shiva, when he was tested by Bhriga Muni, when came to Kailas, Lord Shiva's planet, Bhriga Muni came to embrace his brother, Lord Shiva. They both have their father is Lord Brahma. And Bhriga Muni said, "Stop, don't touch me, you dirty old man. You're full of ashes, you're surrounded by ghosts, and I'm a Brahmin. I already took my bath, don't touch me." So Lord Shiva became insulted, apparently, took up his trident, and was going to kill his brother because he said something nasty to him. But Parvati saved Bhriga Muni, and he took off to the milk ocean to find Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Lord Shiva is depicted in many different ways in the Bhagavatam. Daksha, I think we've already gone through the fourth canto, the Daksha Yajna, and Daksha walks in to the assembly of the demigods. Everyone came except for Lord Brahma and Lord Vishnu because they knew it was going to be a problem. Daksha walks in and sees Lord Shiva, and he's not paying him any respect. He's not standing up, he's not folding his hands. All the other demigods present there have stood up and offered respects to the dazzling Daksha Maharaj. So Daksha became envious of Lord Shiva. "How is it this man is not paying me any respect? He's offensive. He's my son-in-law. He's married my daughter. I'm by nature respectable to him. And yet he's not showing me any respect." So I curse him. He's envious. So Lord Shiva was not at all perturbed. He got up and left the assembly. And then there was the Daksha Yajna, where the demigods were cursing each other. The followers of Lord Shiva were cursing the followers of Daksha, and Daksha was cursing the followers of Lord Shiva. And ultimately it wound up, we find the suicide of Sati, Lord Shiva becoming angry and creating Balabhadra, destroying the yagya of Daksha, cutting off Daksha's head, Lord Shiva coming and replacing it with a goat's head, and Daksha in the form of a goat with a goat's head is now with streams of ecstasy praising Lord Shiva because he's so merciful, he cut my head off and cut off my pride. I was going to hell, but he saved me. So what is it? Lord Shiva's angry. He's completely dira, as Kalidas writes, that Lord Shiva was, Prabhupada sometimes cites Kalidas, his poem. There's a fight between the demigods and the demons. And the demigods were losing. They needed a commander-in-chief. But who could be the commander-in-chief of the demigods? They already had one, Indra, but he wasn't sufficient. So the most powerful demigod is Lord Shiva, although he's not really a demigod. And therefore, they wanted, and they knew he couldn't get him into a fight right now because he's lamenting over the loss of his wife, Sati. But Sati took birth as the daughter of the Himalayan mountains, as Parvati, and therefore the demigods arranged that Lord Parvati seduce or try to seduce Lord Shiva, because I don't know if he's seducing her husband. And so they arranged it, although Lord Shiva was sitting in meditation on Vishnu, she came there and she tried to arouse Lord Shiva. And Kalidas mentions that Lord Shiva, although he's in this compromised position, is not at all agitated. Therefore, he's the example of Dira. So is he Dira? Does he get angry if someone just tells him that, you know, you're dirty? And tries to kill the person? Not only get angry, but tries to kill his own brother because he said something to him? Or is he so foolish as to give benedictions to demons and then flee and then have to be saved by Lord Vishnu? Or does he get angry at Lord? He attacks Lord Vishnu sometimes on behalf of his devotees. So it's bewildering, Lord Shiva. What is he? Is he a pure devotee? Ita Vaishnava Nam Shambhu. That Lord Shiva is the greatest devotee. So the Bhagavatam, as I said, is like a desire tree. Whatever you want to think about Lord Shiva, there's many varieties of things in the Bhagavatam. You can think that this is Lord Shiva and try to see it from that point of view. It's like trying to figure out what an elephant's like by the blind people come to examine the elephant. Someone takes the trunk, someone takes the tail, someone takes the leg, someone takes the tusk, and they declare this is the elephant. I feel it, I'm touching it. I know exactly what an elephant is now. But they're only seeing from their point of view. Because they're blind, they can't see the whole elephant. Similarly, unless we see things in a particular perspective, and the highest perspective of Lord Shiva is Yata Vaishnavanam Shambhu, that he's the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. As a matter of fact, he's here in our temple right now. Anyone notice Lord Shiva lately? You know where Lord Shiva is in the temple? Yes, he's an incarnation of Lord Shiva and Mahavishnu. So, what is the story? The story is that externally, Krishna arranges his pastimes to demonstrate different points. The Bhagavatam is not a storybook. We may think it's a storybook, so we can, like the 10th canto, especially sometimes we think it's a storybook. We read it to our children before they go to sleep. Putana, witch, trying to poison Krishna so our children could sleep more peacefully. Or the whirlwind demon trying to take Krishna in the air to throw him on the ground and smash him. So the children go, oh, how sweet. No, it's not a storybook. Although the 10th canto is a transcendental storybook in the sense that it's Krishna's pastimes. But even the pastimes of Krishna in the 10th canto are didactive. That is, they're educative. And unless we understand what they're trying to educate us, what they're trying to demonstrate for us, we'll simply misunderstand it from our own mundane point of view. First of all, we can't understand what complete transcendence is because we can hardly understand we're not this body. So what to speak of transcendence? Because we're not in transcendence, we're in the material world right now. Our consciousness, that's where it is. We're actually not in the material world, according to the Bhagavad Gita. We're actually transcendental to the material world, but right now our consciousness is in the material world. It's like if you're in the movie theater, watching the movie, absorbed in the movie, you're not doing any work. You don't get any pay from your job, usually speaking, because you're absorbed in the movie. That's where your consciousness is. When you go to work and you put your consciousness in your work, you might get paid for it. So right now, we were fired from the spiritual world. And we're on a extended unemployment. Spiritual unemployment. And we're simply watching this movie, the horror movie. Some people like horror movies. So we're in this ghastly movie called The Material Energy. And we're all trying to enjoy it. Wow, look at that. How horrible. Wow, this is more horrible. Wow. This is great. This is war going on, famine, destruction, death, birth, old age, disease. Yeah, this is fantastic. I wonder how it's all going to end. It never ends. It just gets worse. At least in Kali Yuga. So similarly, Lord Shiva's pastimes are there for educating us that unless he acted in a certain way towards, for instance, Bhrigu Muni, if he was tolerant, then he would not demonstrate, he wouldn't be helpful to demonstrate the exalted tolerance of Lord Vishnu. When Bhrigu Muni came and kicked Vishnu, Lord Vishnu in the chest, and Lord Vishnu came off the bed and started to massage Bhrigu Muni's feet, asking Bhrigu Muni's forgiveness for his hard chest, that his soft lotus-like foot had had it touch it, and he was hoping it wasn't hurt in any way. So unless Lord Vishnu showed this exalted toleration, the sages of the meeting that Bhrigu Muni was attending would not have realized how Lord Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So therefore Lord Shiva played his part as Lord Brahma played as their part. Similarly, unless Lord Shiva had given the benediction to Vrikasura, then we would not have seen how Lord Vishnu saves him from, by his exalted intelligence, from this demon, Vrikasura. Therefore, Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, even the demigods, and even ourselves, we all have our part we're playing. And one who sees it properly sees it's all for glorification of Krishna. And one who sees it in some other way becomes critical of Krishna's devotees even. Thinking, oh, this is unfair. Why did he act like that? Maybe he's schizophrenic. Sometimes he's tolerant. Sometimes he just loses his tolerance and just goes crazy, starts cursing people. Maybe it's because of his association with the ghosts and the hobgoblins. He gets affected by it because he's in the mode of ignorance. No, he's not in the mode of ignorance. He's always transcendental because he's a pure devotee. But sometimes he acts appropriately in order to teach the lessons that Krishna wants to teach. Like Arjuna is not in the mode of ignorance, although he was seemingly put into illusion, so Krishna could instruct the Bhagavad Gita to him. Similarly, Pariksha Maharaj did not lose his Krishna consciousness and garland a snake around Samika Rishi's neck and temporarily fell into ignorance. No, he's always transcendental. But for the sake of the pastime, it would not have occurred unless Krishna had arranged it like that. Similarly, Prabhupada was the same thing. Prabhupada was always transcendental. He was a Nitya Siddha devotee, Mahabhagavat, Shaktivesha Avatar. And yet, from different points of view, it may be seen that Prabhupada was acting like this or he's acting like that, because they don't understand it. That is, it says that one could not understand the activities of Vaishnava. What is that verse? That Vaishnava is inconceivable to a mundane person. Because one cannot understand someone who's actually in the spiritual world, but acting as an instrument. Even Krishna, they can't understand. Why does Krishna sometimes act like an ordinary person? Because there's a reason behind it. Why is it that when Shalva came and he hit Krishna with his club, Krishna dropped his bow, Saranga's bow? Or when he came before Krishna with the false Vasudev, Krishna became temporarily bewildered, seemingly, and started to lament. Because unless Krishna acted like this sometimes, then the demons wouldn't have any reason to think he was an ordinary person. So Krishna helps them out. Besides, it makes the pastime more exciting. If you're God, you fight against an ordinary demon, and you just step, you know, you just look at the demon, he falls dead. There's nothing to write about in the Bhagavatam. There's no story. There's nothing exciting. There's no suspense. There's no reason to develop more love for Krishna. And Krishna jumps into the Kaliya lake, the Jamuna, and swims up to Kaliya, and Kaliya grabs him by his hoods and holds Krishna for 3 hours, and Krishna is motionless. And all the residents of Vrindavan, they're all, you know, completely absorbed in Krishna and anxiety, in Krishna consciousness, and anxiety that something might happen to Krishna. And their love for Krishna is increasing, remembering Krishna's beautiful face, his smiling, his loving exchanges with them. They're completely absorbed in Vipralamba Seva. And then when Krishna sees they're so much absorbed in love for him that they're about to leave their bodies, and he breaks loose from Kaliya and defeats Kaliya. So there's a purpose behind Krishna, what his activities are. Although for a mundaner, they may seem mundane, but they're all meant to simply expand Krishna consciousness. Similarly, all Prabhupada's activities, although sometimes they're written about in a way which would actually make us think otherwise, were all meant for the... Well, first of all, we find in some of the literature written about Prabhupada, they're written by devotees who are just not that advanced. They're just relatively new devotees, and they don't really understand what's going on themselves, and yet they're trying to describe Mahabhagavat. And therefore, they're describing Mahabhagavat from their limited point of view. As Prabhupada said, if you want to know me, then read my books. Otherwise, if we try to read no Prabhupada from limited points of view, we'll only get a very limited point of view. If we want to find out what Prabhupada is like, we can read. Well, sometimes the stories give us a little hint, but we're not going to be able to understand until we come to that level of consciousness what actually is Prabhupada. Except that he's on a much higher level than anyone presently can conceive of who's a conditioned soul. In any case, similarly to Lord Shiva, we should see everything in relationship to Krishna, Lord Shiva's pastimes, because he's here although he's in charge of the mode of ignorance, he deals with people in the mode of ignorance, and therefore seemingly he has to act in such a way as to help elevate people in the mode of ignorance. So he has to deal with Vrikasura, he has to deal with Banasura, he has to deal with so many different with Daksha, and he has to deal with them. Therefore he may act in such a way, from a materialistic point of view, may seem like he's in material consciousness, but he's not. He's simply a perfect instrument for Krishna, doing what's necessary to help elevate these lowly people, these lowly living entities, to make some advancement in Krishna consciousness. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments?
Why is Lord Brahma represented in mode of passion?
Because he creates everything. Creation in the material world doesn't go on unless there's the mode of passion. In the mode of ignorance, one is in the mood of destroying what's already there. Because it's frustrating. I thought it was going to be beautiful, but it didn't turn out what I expected. Therefore, I become angry, and I want to destroy it. Frustration. And the mode of goodness, everything's perfect already. I don't really have to. Only in the mode of passion, one is inspired to do something better than it's already there. So he's in charge of the mode of passion. And therefore, he has to work in the mode of passion, too. Although he's a perfect instrument of Krishna, also in the mode of passion. But sometimes it seems that his activities are passionate. Anything else? Hvala, Granthara, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.